You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
So we're here with Andrew Thornton then, final day of your career in the saddle, the morning before, if you like. And how are you feeling today? Are you apprehensive? Are you nervous? Are you excited? How are you feeling this morning ahead of your final rides?
Looking forward to this afternoon. Got four good rides, so you know, it's a case of another day at the office. I'm going to leave it up to everybody else to get excited or nervous or what have you. But I'm just looking forward to hopefully having some good rides. Try and go out with a bang. Got some good opportunities, and looking back, it's been I've crossed a few eras, never mind one. So it's just been an enjoyable experience on most parts. A few injuries along the way, which I'd probably cut out if it was ever to do it again. But it wouldn't be the same journey otherwise. It's just part of the job. You get used to it. It'll be interesting. I'll probably be blowing a little bit at the end of it. I haven't had four rides in ages.
It's a dream scenario. You go out with a four-timer. Would you change your mind?
Oh, gosh. No. In a word, you know, the decision has been made. I've been contemplating it for quite a while, to be perfectly honest with you. So probably ever since I got to 1,000, which it's gone back a while now, but I got injured off the back of that and then had another forced layoff when I did come back, broken collarbone. So, yeah, I probably eked it out as long as I dare. So it's a case of, not a case of now or never, but, you know, it's just the right time.
There's stories about you 3 a.m. in the morning making the decision. Just tell us a little bit about that. What was it that finally made you think, okay, now is the time?
Yeah, it was last Thursday. I'd slept well up until then, and suddenly it was a bit like I just woke up and I was wide awake, just toying things over in the mind, and I just thought, do you know what, now is the right time. And it's so I literally just laid there for an hour mulling things over in my head. Where do I want to do it? You know, what do I want to do it on? And picked up the phone, had a look on the phone, and had a quick look to see where racing was the next week, i.e. this week. And there was Sutherland and there was Uttoxeter today, and a couple of meetings a little bit further on in the week, but that didn't really fit. And the races just seemed to fit. And as soon as 7 o'clock came, 6:30 came, I rang Dave Roberts, my agent, who's been brilliant along the way. He's booked about 970 of the winners for me. And then the next phone call was Seamus Mullins, who I've predominantly been riding for recently, and just said, Seamus, the time's come. And his reply was, well, it was going to come sooner or later, wasn't it?
I thought you were going to say something like about time. You've had a lot of nice messages, a lot of friends in the weighing room, and a lot of trainers that have said nice things. Your agent, as you mentioned, said nice things about you. You made a lot of good friends along the way. Is that something you're going to miss?
Well, I don't think I won't miss it, because I'm still going to be around them, you know. So it's a case of, yeah, I won't be in the weighing room as such. But look, I can't believe I haven't upset anybody. You know, there must be somebody out there I've upset along the way. But hey, it's been a great journey. I've ridden winners for 179 different trainers. So there's a lot of trainers out there I obviously didn't do a great job on, because I only had one winner for them. But it's been a great journey, and it's been one that where I started with Arthur Stevenson back in 1987 as a stable lad, and I think the ground in there was probably what has made me the man I am today. So it was hard work, it was hard graft, but it was fair. So there was a lot of good lads there who taught me an awful lot.
So we're obviously looking forward to having you here on William Hill TV a little bit more, maybe, and so on and so forth. What does the future hold for you? What do you want to do? Do you want to stay involved with racing? Do you want to go into the media side of things? Or would you take up training any time in the future, anything like that?
I think I'm too old to be a trainer. I think, look at the lads coming forward now, Dan Skelton's and Charlie Longston's and the young lads, even on the flat, the Richard Fies and David O'Mara's, Kevin Ryan's, they started when they were in the 20s, so I think that's maybe just passed me by. But the media side is definitely the way forward. I enjoy being involved, I enjoy putting my views across. I think I'm experienced enough that at least I've been there, and I can criticise in a way which is constructive. You know, as jockeys, we know we're not that harshly criticised. You look at football and things like that, they get a pretty harsh treatment in other sports. I think in racing, we don't get criticised that badly. you know, it isn't perfect though. The difference is for our sport is that when you've got two brains at work, horse and jockey, it's not easy to control. So I think there's probably a little bit of sympathy on that front. So yeah, jockeys do a great job. It's not an easy job. And sometimes you've got to be a politician as well.
Well, you've been good at it. You've got it right at least 1,000 times, which is which is good news. Favourite horse throughout all that time, or favourite memory from your racing days?
Well, an early horse I rode was a horse called River House, and he's one of the first horses I ever looked after. And I did him as a lad, and then I got to ride him. And you get an affinity with him, you get a really close association. So if you were to say to me, what is your favourite horse? Very few people will have heard of him. But he was a horse that probably got me going, and he was a horse I learnt an awful lot of. And in the latter days, Super Tactics is one that stands out, because he was like a street fighter. He used to get sweated up. He had the veins would be popping out in his neck. His eyes would be bulging. And like a boxer, he was unlike any other horse I've ridden. But he was, the whiter he was in the paddock, the better he was. And I'm always very wary when I'm watching horses sweating up. It might be just a characteristic they have. So that he was probably one of my favourites for different reasons, because he won over 2 miles, he won over 3 miles, and he was brilliant round Kempton.
I suppose that must be a great thing about being a jockey. You get to learn the character of the horse as well, because I've spoken to Ken from the paddock and I've spoken to other jockeys as well, and they would say, you know, if a certain horse wasn't buzzed up, that would be out of character, and therefore that would be the negative. So I suppose it's, you know, it'd be nice that you get to know these horses along the way as well and learn the characters of them. I must ask you about Cool Dawn, of course. Biggest success, Gold Cup at Cheltenham. What was he like?
He was quite a live wire in his early days. I got him when he was a bit quieter, when he was older. But Dido Harden won 5 pointer points, and she rode him one day. He pulled himself up after a circuit, was 30 in front, was 30 behind by the time they jumped the next fence, and won by 20. So that's how good he was. But he was a front runner. You just sat on him and you didn't move on him. You just let him get into top gear, put the foot on the gas, literally be brave with him and just go with him. He was a brilliant, brilliant jumper. Only made a couple of mistakes when I rode him on the way round, but that wasn't nothing to do with me. He liked a forward going nature and liked top of the ground. So he was a real good character. Probably wasn't the best horse in the world, but Robert Olner, the trainer at the time, and all through his career, he got him to peak when it mattered on the big day at the Cheltenham Festival. And he had a skin on him like a seal on the day. You could have brushed your hair in his coat. He looked that well. He looked magnificent. And he couldn't have been an ounce better on the day.
So that's obviously the biggest prize of them all, the big day. What big days will you miss? You've ridden in numerous Grand Nationals as well, numerous Gold Cups and won it. This time next year, or as the season progresses next year, which day are you going to be sitting thinking, oh, maybe I do wish I was still riding just for this day?
Probably the Charlie Hall at Weatherby, because that's when the season gets going. Yeah. You know, that's the start of the National Hunt season, as we would see it, as a when it really gets going at the back end of October at Weatherby. So those big days like that. But it's not always about the big days. It's often about the, you know, you plumped it, Miss Plumpton on a Monday. You know, it's been set in stone for the last 28 seasons, you know. Folkestone on a Friday used to be one. That is no longer. But your big days at Kempton, Sandown's, Ascot's, and you know, you've got to, and then you've got to put Cheltenham in there. The Cheltenham Festival is like no other. It's the creme de la creme. As far as the Grand National's concerned, in the early days, I had a great run in the early days. I ended up having 14 rides in it. The first 4 got round and the next 10 didn't. So, you know, you have mixed emotions about the Grand National. A lot of bad experiences as well as good experiences. So, those sort of days you'll miss, but I've been lucky to sample most of them.
Every time we talk to a jockey that's going to retire or something along those lines, we say how difficult the job is, the injuries that come with it, the weight that you have to maintain, the lack of being able to just eat what you want and do what you want. What one thing are you going to be able to do that you haven't been able to do that you're going to enjoy being able to just have that little bit of freedom again?
That's a good question, actually, because I've never seen my weight maintenance as like a diet or anything. It's a way of life, so I'll probably stick to the way of life. A few more lies in would be quite nice, and I suppose being able to take a holiday when you want, because that's the hardest part. One thing I've always wanted to do is ski. Never had the opportunity because it's always at the wrong time of year, so could be a skiing holiday somewhere along the way. So it'll probably be able to just have a bit more downtime and and enjoy the family.
So you can see that adrenaline junkie in you when you've retired. Instead of going, nice relaxing beach holiday, I'll go throw myself down a mountain on some skis instead. Can't lose that sense of danger. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, Andrew. We wish you all the very best for the future. We'll obviously still have you in here as well. Final day, I suppose the listeners on William Hill Racing Radio are going to want to know which horse is going to give you the best chance of going out with a winner today.
I've had a quick look and I've got 3 second favourites in there. So my wife is always superstitious about me riding favourites, and second favourites have been good to me in the past. Hopefully they'll be good to me one more time. So probably the best chance of the afternoon, I'd say Amir in the 240, the maiden hurdle. He likes top of the ground. He's got one of Nicky Henderson's to beat, but he's got experience on his side.
Thank you very much. From all of us here at William Hill and everybody who's listening to William Hill Racing Radio, I'm sure they'll back me up and say very best of luck in the future and happy retirement.
Thank you, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.